everyone. Welcome to the Sports Review, a very special show. This is a pre-record. Unfortunately, you know, I'm doing something I don't really like to do. It's to go to a funeral for an old buddy of mine, played rugby with, old TC, good bloke, very competitive, and, you know, yeah, it's hard when you're having to do that, but, you know, out of respect for him, I'm doing this pre-record today. Have to say, TC would have been proud of the Lizards over the weekend. Quick thing on what I was up to over the weekend was out at Waiuku Rugby Club for the National 85s competition. And I have to say, you know, it's always great seeing my old mates at the Waiuku Rugby Club. Fantastic win by the Eden Lizards, 80 points to 3. So they go through and play the blokes who down in Western Springs, commonly known as Ponsonby, with all the All Blacks. Talking about All Blacks, on the line we have ex-All Black Bernie McCahill, who's back from an improved golf handicap. Only told me he caught scallops. So welcome to the show, Bernie.
Thanks, Peggy. Good to be back, mate. I must say the fishing was very, very tough. They must be hiding at the moment, but the golf handicap is getting better.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. Just before, and of course, we were pleased to see international rugby back on board, a real very stop-start beginning for the All Blacks in 2020. I have to say that really, we were very lucky. We were within millimetres of possibly losing that match. What were your thoughts on that match?
Well, I thought we probably had the upper hand in the first half, and probably that try that Rico Ioane missed out on was the turning point of the game. It probably boosted them and deflated us. And if the try was scored, it would have been the complete opposite. But their aggressive defence was probably the outstanding thing. They were up so quick and they got in our face, and it just put us under pressure that we're, you know, not accustomed to.
Yeah, well, I have to say, when I looked at that match, I was actually, some of the performances that caught my eye was, and I was quite impressed with Michael Hooper and that, and the big lock they had. He was really, really good. He got round the field great. Nick White was very good, and I also believe James O'Connor was, he was quite outstanding. He, you know, it was great to see when he set up that try for Karevi, the old double around. We don't see that a lot in our rugby, but it was good to see. As far as the All Blacks goes, Aaron Smith, quite good. Sam Kane, Artie Sevier. But, you know, I felt that we were very, very lucky to get out of jail. Rico Ioane, I'm going to be straight to the point. I'm not going to bag on the poor guy because everyone has. If you're going to score a try, don't show pony. Put the damn ball down. You'd agree on that.
And yeah, it's the old basic rule, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought I think we may have been outcoached in the end. I think Ian Fox got outcoached by Dave Rennie.
Yeah, look, I guess there's a number of factors in it, and that Aussie team would have played their hearts out for Michael Hooper for his 100th game.
Yeah.
That's a massive factor. Why they didn't go for a drop kick in the last minute is beyond me. Like, they would have won the game.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Similarly, when we got down the other end, why didn't we take a drop kick? You know, it's that age-old thing. Just take your point and the game's over.
Yeah, you know, if you've got an opportunity to win, a win's a win.
Yeah.
You take an ugly win over a pretty loss. Talking about, so there was some really great rugby as well in the Mitre 10 Cup. Canterbury are back, it looks like they're back to their best with a 34-10 win over Manawatu. Really great game on Saturday afternoon at Inglewood. I ended up seeing the highlights when I got home when I was looking at it yesterday was the Auckland 29, Taranaki 28, really close game. Auckland, AJ Lamb and Ray Arce, really two fantastic wingers, really got us out of a bit of stuck, as they say, because Taranaki actually played one of their better performances. Don't know if you had a chance to see that one, Bernie.
Unfortunately, I didn't see much of the Mitre 10. I just seen the results, and I know there's another one-point game in there somewhere, so there's some pretty competitive.
Oh, yeah, that was a cracker. It was Otago versus Wellington, and fantastic games. But there was also quite a big result for North Harbour, 46-10 over Hawke's Bay. They've still got they can still sneak into that top four for the Premiership, even though it looks like the top four may have sorted themselves out. But, and of course, Tasman and Waikato had wins over Bay of Plenty and Counties Manukau. But Northland had a fantastic rehearsal. They had a tough old win over Southland, but that's great rehearsal, especially when they've got a Shield Challenge coming up.
Yeah, how exciting is that for them? It's probably a while since they've had a crack at it.
1979.
Oh, wow, man, wouldn't that be exciting? Like, it's moved around a bit already, why not keep it going?
Well, I'll tell you something, I would be looking forward to seeing that go up north, because we need to, you know, I believe the Shield needs to be shared around. Unfortunately, teams like Canterbury and Auckland, because they were just too good, nobody got a sniffing, but now I think we're seeing provincial rugby really evening out. Bernie, just a couple of thoughts before I let you go. What changes, would you make any changes to the All Blacks?
Oh, yeah, look, I think I'd bring Anton Leonard-Brown back into the starting lineup.
Yep.
Bowden will obviously slip back into fullback, although I think Damien McKenzie had a cracking game. Shucks, in the forwards, they started reasonably well, actually. There wouldn't be many changes in the starting lineup, although I thought, you know, Hoskins was very good when he came on.
Yeah, he was very good, yes.
But Artie, you know, had done a lot of the hard work up front, so I might leave it that way. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, would it be better to get Bowden to run at 10 and put Geordie at fullback? There's all those questions.
And possibly give Caleb Clark a start, because he actually looked quite ominous when he came on. He looked quite big. So, you'll be on the barrier again, I believe.
Next Monday, I'm coming back up from the Hawke's Bay, actually. I've got a board meeting down there that I've got to attend, so I'm going to be in the Hawke's Bay, and I could be the barrier the following Monday. So I'll let you know.
Myself and Mr. AJ Wheaton will wait for our scallops, Bernie.
AJ, we're waiting a while, but I'll make sure you get a feed.
Always great having a chat to you, Bernie. That was ex-All Black Bernie McCahill, that he given his views on yesterday's Bettislow Cup game and on the Mitre 10 Cup. Next up, we will go to a bit of music, then we'll have Frank Endicott. Okay, as we do every Monday, we always speak a bit of NRL with ex-Kiwis coach, ex-Auckland Warriors, ex-Wigan Warriors, ex-Widnes of ex-Canterbury. I think he's coached just about anyone about from apart from being a coach driver himself. And I just want to have a big welcome to Frank Endicott. How are you, mate?
Very good, thanks, Amon.
What a fantastic weekend of NRL semi-finals it was. And, you know, We were 1-1, but there were some fantastic games, and we're really looking forward to the upcoming week. But we'll start it off with the first game of the weekend, which was the Canberra Raiders over the Sydney Roosters. I didn't call them a silly name this time, so we'll get on to that. First of all, I was really impressed. That was a great game, fantastic. The Raiders were just got straight out of there. Really, Josh Papali, what a beast that man is. And of course, then we had the Williams Whiten combination, and of course James Savesco on the other side. So, what were some of your thoughts on this first match, Frank?
Well, it showed me firstly what a united side Canberra Raiders are. Ricky Stewart's really got them in a good frame of mind, and they're going to be hard to beat. We actually said that last week, didn't we? That, you know, no matter who they drew, the team they drew wouldn't want to be playing the Canberra Raiders. But yeah, Jack Whiten, again, you know, he scored the winning try, 10, 11 minutes from the end to knock the Roosters out and actually reverse the result of the 2019 Grand Final. So, you know, a lot to play for. There's some great efforts here. I thought Josh Papali showed why he's most certainly the best prop in the NRL at the moment.
Oh, yeah, he's a beast. And I have I watched that first try. I thought, who is going to stop him? Five to 10 metres out, he's just going to run right over you. I tell you something I actually was impressed with was Nickel Kotsep's try-saving tackle on, I think it may have been Brent Morris.
Well, I was impressed with him in his total game of both attack and defence. He's just gone from strength to strength, this bloke, and it just shows you what can happen when the Warriors actually moved him on, let him go, and he goes to a club like Canberra and just sets a whole new future for himself. He's done that. They won't ever want him to leave the club. Fantastic performance. I thought the one single performance in that game that really struck me, I thought it was sensational, was Joseph Tuppany's individual try.
Oh, yeah, that was good. How many bodies did he carry with him? He was just, you know, it's a pity we don't have international league, because I think he would have been part of that Kiwis 2020 side. I have to say that really great game, and that's the season for the Roosters. Probably the end of top line rugby league also for Sonny Bill Williams.
I would think without a doubt, Sonny Bill Williams, I didn't think he played too bad, but another year on at that level, I don't think he can handle that. And also Mitch Orbison, wasn't it? It was his final game as well, after a great career.
I looked at it and I thought, you know, Sonny Bill Williams, since he's come back from Super League, really, he's improved, but at that level, I don't know how much more punishment his body can take, whether he goes to Japanese rugby is a new rumour flying around. So we'll find out as we go. Well, then we go to the next game. It was the Rabbitohs versus the Eels. 38-24, the Eels started off with a hiss and a roar. Clint Gufferson was really cutting them to shreds. And then Souths came back. Really, I tell you something, Frank, Damien Cook is probably the best number nine outside of Cameron Smith, if not better than Cameron Smith. His leadership, his running from dummy half is fantastic. His combination with Reynolds and Walker has proven to be a masterstroke for them, for the Rabbitohs in their progress during this final series.
Yeah, well, you're reading my notes exactly. you go through and you have a look at that game. I had a decent bet on South Sydney, to be fair. I wasn't sitting good at half time when they were down 8-18, 10 points down. And they needed a huge second half to come out and beat the Eels, and they scored 30-odd points in the second half, led by your man Cook, the hooker. He had three try assists. His speed out of dummy half, he didn't run too much in the first half, but then the second half, as he did the previous week. He just absolutely destroyed the opposition. And he needed to, because Clint Gutherson was simply brilliant in the first half.
He was fantastic. He was great. I have to say one thing about Damien Cook. It's not just his running from dummy half. It's the way he combined, with the way he combines with Reynolds and Walker.
That's
probably been the biggest difference. You probably would have said Souths would have been pretty much battling without Latrell Mitchell, but the big three step up. You know, as we say, every team has a big three, and those three, and it's usually a hooker, halves and standoff combination that tend to lead teams in the crucial matches.
Without a doubt. And I must say, I thought the Eels are out now, but I thought they had a fantastic
year. I thought they played well.
And having the two wingers out, Sebo and Ferguson, and then losing Michael Jennings 12 hours before the game didn't help their chances. But
yeah,
I thought they were right.
Boy, old Mr. Jennings.
Well, it just shows you can't play those games and not get caught out. And he got caught out, unfortunately. But the turning point in that game, I thought, was when Mitchell Moses had that easy penalty near the post, hit the upright,
runaway try. Yep.
And 70 metres up the field.
That was crucial, and I did have that in my notes. So you've been reading my notes as well, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't actually share each other's notes here. We basically talk about it. Now we better get on to these semis, mate, and I'm telling you, this, I know that you've picked Penrith and the Storm to be in the final, but nothing would surprise me if it's a Rabbitohs Raiders final. Because either side, you know, and I'm actually going to put my nose out there, and I'm going to say the Rabbitohs and the Raiders, I think they will win this weekend. The reason being, I'll explain that, Frank, is because they've had that ongoing football. They've grown, momentum has grown.
Well, I wouldn't argue with you, actually. I mean, when you're down to the last four teams, it's very hard to pick the winner of both those games. And Storm Raiders in Brisbane, of course, and then followed by Penrith Souths at Penrith. Remember the big Penrith second row is out.
Yes.
And he is their
is
best
key,
forward.
Oh, yeah, Kikau's out.
Kikau, the big Fijian second row Kikau. He's a Vilamai Kikau. He's out. For this game. Then you've got to say, will Munster play for the Storm? I doubt it. The good thing in the semis, in the last four to me, Amon, is there's 18 Kiwis playing in the last four.
Isn't that fantastic?
Kiwis.
You think about 30 years ago, we might have had one or two in the semis, maybe about five or six playing in what was known as the old Winfield Cup. And, you know, isn't this great for New Zealand Rugby League? A lot of these young guys are putting their hands up. They're saying, we want to be played for the Kiwis. We believe a Kiwi jersey means more to us than a State of Origin jersey.
Absolutely. And, the big winner out of all these Kiwis playing in the NRL is the Kiwis themselves.
Yeah.
And it's making us stronger by the day.
Well,
and there's some very good players involved there.
Well, let's hope we can get International Rugby League back on board next year, Frank, because I would really love to see us play Australia in a good free test match series. You know, do it between the two countries when we've got a Trans-Tasman bubble, and just see, you know, I believe it would garner a lot of interest on a Friday night. Anyway, Frank, I've taken Souths and Raiders. You can take Penrith and the Storm.
Well, you're
not going to moan at that. I'm going to say that has been, it's always great having a chat to you. And of course, in a few more weeks' time, as we get ready for that grand final, next week we'll be talking about who has made this grand final. We'll be talking about who's going to win the grand final. Then we will have a review on Labor Day. I hope you're available on Labor Day there, Frank.
Well, depending what condition I'm in, I should be.
Well, mate, I've got to do the show. Anyway, great chatting to you, Frank. Okay, that was, ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Endicott. Next up, we'll have a bit of music, and then we'll get to the madness of Brendan McNeice as we review Talk All Things Football.
First things first, I'm a say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail. I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh. I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the... Hey, you made me up, you made me a believer, believer. All the hate that you've heard has turned your spirit to a dove. Oh, ooh, your spirit up above. Oh, ooh. I was choking in the crowd, building my brain up in the cloud, falling like ashes to the ground, hoping my feelings, they would drown. But they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up when it rained down like... Flames, you're the face of the future, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh. But they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up when it rained down like...
Okay, as we do every Monday around this time, we have the madness and the wisdom of Brendan McNeice. Brendan, how are you? Did you go to the rugby yesterday?
No, I managed to make one network news last night. I was at the Bond Bar in Wellington, and if you seen a big Irishman waving in the background, that was me.
You try anything for publicity.
Absolutely. Media.
You're a media hussy. I'm going to say, before you say a rude word, you're a media hussy. That's it.
That's a great word.
Yeah. Anyway, so obviously no EPL or SPL this weekend. There were a few qualifiers to go through to the UEFA 2020 or 2021, as it's going to be. Scotland, Northern Ireland, Serbia made it through. Republic of Ireland now got beaten on penalties by Slovenia. Now, I have to say, why isn't Seamus Coleman playing? You're our football correspondent. Has there been a fallout? He's the captain of the team that's leading the Premiership. He's probably one of the better Irish players within the Premiership.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's a complete... Irish football's a shambles, absolute shambles. The press were very keen to Stephen Kenny's team after that and saying that there's green shoots of recovery. If that had been in New Zealand, the press would have savaged them. an absolute travesty. The Slovakian team were down to the bare bones with COVID. That was virtually their B team. We couldn't score in 120 minutes. We missed penalties. It was just an abject, dire performance, and it's just absolutely good enough. And why Seamus Coleman's not playing is a complete and utter mystery to not only you, Eamon, but 5 million people in Ireland.
Yeah, I couldn't work it out because the last game they put him on the bench, they didn't bring him on. It makes you think that there has been a bit of a fallout between him and Stephen Kenny. Now, so there has been a few results. England beat Belgium. There was a Germany beat the Ukraine. Faroe Islands, I think, had a win over Liechtenstein, which was fantastic, great quality.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The luminaires of world football, Liechtenstein and the Faroe Islands. And I see Liechtenstein must be actually the worst team in the world because they lost to Gibraltar. Like, I didn't even know Gibraltar had a football team.
Well, yeah, they do have a football team. So, you know, we're but if you're an Irish supporter, you might be playing down that level because... But I was just going to say to you, but Poland had a nil-all draw against Italy. Austria beat Northern Ireland, Norway beat Romania, and Bosnia and the Netherlands had a nil-all draw. And England beat, it's already in the sun, beat Belgium. But it's a terrible competition. We're better off playing football. Talking about football, and I know that you'll be excited getting up in the morning. You'll probably be at a bar, probably at Four Kings or Bond Street Bar, watching the Old Firm Derby. You're looking for Celtic versus Rangers. I know it means a lot to you, Brendan.
Absolutely. Well, it's the biggest game in my football calendar, and for a lot of people in Glasgow and all around the world, two clubs that have got a hatred for each other. It actually transcends football. It's politics. It's religion. It's everything. It's life and death. It's the absolute biggest game in the world. The biggest derby in the world, I think, and absolutely looking forward to it. And this year, there's all sorts of side shows going on. Of course, this will be the first Old Firm game in history that'll be played behind closed doors. It's also the Celtic team have been struck down with COVID. The four frontline players, and apparently not going to play. All sorts of things going on in Scotland in relation to the whole COVID thing. The First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has said that it's got the propensity to kick off COVID again because of the amount of house parties that are going to be going on, and it's just bigger than the Beatles.
Oh, it certainly is. I'm talking about bigger than the Beatles, the Merseyside Derby. Now that is going to be a cracking one, isn't it?
Oh, look, all on the same day. Liverpool, Everton, Celtic, Rangers on the same day. It just doesn't get any better than that, especially now. Celtic, Rangers both at top of the Scottish League. Liverpool, the former, the reigning champions, against the top of the table, Everton, who are going sensationally well. Yeah, so it's going to be a magic afternoon of football. And, like, I know this is the soccer slot, but Eamon, what a game of rugby yesterday.
Fantastic. I have to say it was stop-start from the All Blacks. And, you know, I think we've got to take off our All Black blinkers in this country because I know I've got Mark Watson after you, and I suspect there might be I don't think he's going to have his opinion on the All Blacks and probably on Ian Foster. I said it to Bernie McCahill earlier that I believe that that Dave Rennie may have outcoached Ian Foster.
Oh, look, it's early days, Eamon. But I just look at that game and I say that's possibly one of the best in the top 10 games that I've seen in my life. That was absolutely riveting stuff.
James O'Connor was fantastic, I thought.
It was brilliant. And the skill level for those guys that, you know, haven't played test rugby for 400 days, I think credit to both teams. Like, both, and I think, you know, maybe maybe, just maybe, Australia did deserve to win, but a draw, I think, was a fair result for both sides, and doesn't it set it up for a Titanic match at
Eastport? Well, yeah, now you're not coming up to Auckland for that, are you?
I might be allowed out of the house after my performance on One Network News last night.
Yeah, don't think your kids are going to be too happy with you. I've got to see this. I've definitely got to. If you send it, just message that through to me.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll send it to you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, just while we're talking a bit of APL, another match of interest will be Manchester City versus Arsenal.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go. Look, Manchester City haven't made what you would call a stellar start to the season, even. And there's already a few questions being asked around Pep and his future, and is he going to see the season out and all the rest of it. And Arsenal have made a creditable start to the season. Of course, they've won the FA Cup. And I think that Arsenal could just about tip them over.
I think they possibly will, and of course my team Manchester United.
Oh, what did you think of the late transfer window business? Do you think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has uncovered a new sentinel?
Oh no. We won't even go there. We need a decent defender. I'm sorry. They've got Harry Maguire there. They paid him all that money. I'd rather have Harry Styles from One Direction.
Yes.
I was just going to say, some of the matches coming through, there's going to be some riveting ones. And I know Spurs versus West Ham, Nick, you know, you made this comment, which I thought about when I finished the show, when I was having a few, you know, lemonades. When you said the players don't feel inspired playing under no crowds, well, if you got paid £100,000 a week, I know you would feel inspired. I'd feel inspired if they were paying me £50,000 a week.
Look, I get inspired. I wouldn't get inspired if I got $50. I would get inspired just to pull on the jersey. You know, I'd get inspired just walking to the stadium. You know what I mean? These players don't know they're born. They don't know the privilege, the absolute privilege it is to pull on, you know, a Premier League jersey, an international jersey, a Celtic jersey. I would do it for free, and I'm sure you would too, Eamon.
I think a lot of players would do this for free. So, but hey, just some of the other matches like the Spurs West Ham, I think that's going to be a cracker.
Oh, absolutely! Spurs and West Ham in good form. Spurs and West Ham in good form as well. And Jose Mourinho just seems to be hitting the straps now at Tottenham. And of course, that phenomenal result at Old Trafford. And I don't mean to give you mental scars, Eamon, but that 6-1 absolute downtrier at Old Trafford. I think that could actually be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
That game should be a good one. Also, Leicester versus Aston Villa. Villa will want to prove that result against Liverpool was no fluke. Leeds versus Wolves. Now we're going back to the 70s and 80s.
And of course, Leeds and Wolves.
And of course, we've got West Brom versus your favourite team, Burnley, which has New Zealander Chris Wood. We've also got Sheffield United versus Fulham. Well, I think Sheffield United and Crystal Palace versus Brighton, and Chelsea versus Southampton. So there is going to be a lot of good football coming up over the coming up next week.
Absolutely, and you just get the feeling now that it's getting to the stage of the season where the pretenders will start to be weeded out from the real deals, and coming up to Christmas, you actually see who were the champion Charlies and who were the Charlies.
Yep, that's right. Well, I have to say, I would say it's a pleasure. I didn't get a tweet from President Trump, but he did say... I did get an email from the White House saying he really likes... I really like that guy, Brendan McNeice, the soccer guy.
The feeling is mutual, and hopefully you'll have a lot of free time in your hands come December.
Anyway, always great having a bit of a chat to you. We'll chat to you next Monday. You will be available on Labor Day, Mr. McNeice.
I'll be available. If I'm a bit shady, it'll be because the Celtic have done the business against the old enemy. And
That's next Monday. I'm talking Labor Day.
Oh yeah, Labor Day. I'm available. I'm available to talk to you all the time, Eamon. You know what I mean? It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, okay, and BS will get you everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. That was Brendan McNeice. Hey, great having a chat, and we'll catch up next week at a different time. Thanks for coming on a bit earlier than usual.
Anytime, all the best, love.
I'm through with standing in line, the clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
Yeah, what you need?
I'll need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black chair with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Been done.
New tour bus full of old guitars, my star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name, 'cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny 'cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars, in the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there, every playboy bunny with a bleach blonde hair. And we'll, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Gonna be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free.
I have a quesadilla.
I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a centiphone that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
Trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. 'Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny 'cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up. Every playboy bunny with a bleach blonde hair. And we'll hide out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I'm gonna sing those songs that offend the senses. Gonna pop my pills from a best dispenser. Get washed up singers writing all my songs. Let's sing them every night so I don't get them wrong. Well, we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny 'cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleach blonde hair. And we'll hide out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, due to the fact this is a pre-record, we don't actually have the silver tongue, silver fox this time because we can just have one person in the studio. But when I saw this result at full time in the All Blacks Australia game, I thought, ooh, I know that one person will give his opinion, and he's here on air. He's straight to the point broadcaster. And he's a bloody good guy, Mark Watson. Mark, good morning to you.
Morning, Eamon.
Yeah, mate, what did you think of that game? I think the All Blacks were outcoached, personally, but yeah.
Well, look, prior to the game, I don't bet on sport at all, but I put $20, well, I was going to put $20, I should say, on the Wallabies. They were paying $7.10. I think the All Blacks were paying $1.07, but I just couldn't end up going through the kerfuffle of giving my name and all sorts of other things over, so it didn't end up happening. And in hindsight, you know, I probably saved myself $20, but I always thought the Wallabies were always going to go close to winning this test, simply for the fact that once again, this All Black team we played, we just simply try to get our best players on the park, even though they were out of position.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that, you know, Rico Iwane should be playing at centre. The guy's a winger, you know. Jack Goodhew plays better when he's at centre, even though he's a good second 5'8". You know, Antoine Brown should have played at second 5. You know, you've got your... Okay, Beauden Barrett was ruled out with an Achilles injury, but when are we actually going to learn that Beauden Barrett is first 5? You know, Geordie Barrett is a fullback. And you look, you put... You know, you go and... put these other players on the bench rather than just simply trying to get them on the park. You know, Shannon Brazel, what have we learned from this game yesterday? Well, I think we've learned that his level is super rugby. And that's been the case with a lot of players over the past. They just don't seem to have that ability to step up. We had a forward pack. Where the fascination with Offa Tuangavasi is for me, I've just never understood that selection at all. I think he's a journeyman at best. I think he might scrummage well, but that's about all around the field. You know, but let's then go back and look at the coaching. Let's just have a look and see what we've done here. I mean, this whole thing was a farce. I remember saying on Radio Sport, you thought it'd be about 3 years ago, that when it was all said and done, Ian Foster was going to get the All Black job, even though New Zealand Rugby came out and talked about transparency. This is a boys' network. There is no innovation at all there with Ian Foster. The game is not going to move forward under him. He was an awful coach when he was the head coach of the Chiefs. He was good at developing some backs and bringing some All Blacks through, but he didn't quite have that ability that we see with, say, a Scott Robertson and that we've seen with, say, a Wayne Smith. And so, you know, we just sort of, we haven't progressed at all since the World Cup. This just all feels like the sort of stale Steve Hansen type of coaching where the message has just got stale. And, you know, it's really, really disappointing. Good to see young guys come on like Caleb Clark. He just looked magnificent given the
score. Yeah, he certainly did, yeah.
And he should be permanently on wing. This whole thing about just trying to put these intelligent fullback type players on the wing is just dumb stuff. I mean, Geordie Barrett, yeah, he's not a winger. He's not a winger. George Bridge, I think, is out of form. I don't think he gets across the advantage line enough. I think he's okay when he's given a lot of space, but he was also found out defensively down that left-hand side where he was defending at times. So, look, and credit must go to Dave Rennie. I mean, this is a guy, along with Scott Robertson, that really should have been the two contenders for the All Black coaching job. But, you know, he came out a couple of years ago. He stood up against New Zealand Rugby and just said, basically, shove it, I'm out of here. You know, and he disappeared. And look, Australia are now benefiting from it. You know, I think we'll probably win the second test at Eden Park. But, boy, the future is not good over the next 2 to 3 years. I can see the debates raging when it comes to Ian Foster, not dissimilar to what we had when Laurie Mains first took over back in the early 1990s, you know, when people felt that perhaps John Hart was probably the best guy at the time for that, and perhaps Laurie was 3 years later and they sort of got that around the wrong way. But again, how do you have those debates now, other than your show? I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity for people to have their say, because New Zealand Rugby has shut all that down too. And so, you know, you look too, was it a sellout yesterday? No, it wasn't.
It was terrible.
What does that say? Apathy around the All Blacks, that people no longer care? Well, it's starting to look a little bit that way. I think New Zealand Rugby's in real trouble here. Real trouble.
I actually agree with you, Mark, and you go on about, I have tried to get hold of someone at New Zealand Rugby Union. It is like dealing with what they used to call in Russia the Politburo. They have this attitude. Now, this was an opportunity to blood new players, to start it fresh. We need to freshen up New Zealand rugby because it did look stale. Before that game, like you, I thought to myself, oh, it wouldn't surprise me if Australia just turn us over today. And they almost did, and we were within millimetres of losing that test match.
Well, look, you know, if Hoskins for Tutu, I'd like to see him start at 8. I'd like to see Artie Sevier move to 7. And I'd like to see Sam Kane, who is a workhorse, who is great defensively around the park, to move into the 6 position. Yeah. But where are our ball-carrying forwards these days? Where are the guys that go up through the middle, that get across the advantage line, that actually are explosive? Because Shannon Fazell's not offering that. Sam Whitelock no longer offers that. And I think what it also, it just highlights that is one area of our game where we are incredibly weak. I also would like to see TJ Perenara start at halfback. I think he's better defensively around the fringes, and I think, you know, we saw Aaron Smith get found out a couple of times on defence yesterday. But let's just go back to playing guys in their positions rather than just trying to get the best guys on the park. And, you know, we do have some good youthful exuberance. You do need to have a mix of experience. Head scratching. But again, you've got to give credit to the Wallabies. I mean, this is Australian rugby. It's about their sixth biggest sport at the moment. They don't anywhere near have the depth that we have. And we were out-coached again. We were out-coached by England last year. We were out-coached by Warren Gatland with the British and Irish Lions back in 2016. In the last 5 years, yes, we've won some tests, but boy, we've been out-coached a lot. And so somehow thinking that Ian Foster's going to come in and change the game, it's just beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. And guys like Graham Henry, who were on that selection panel, should be damn well ashamed of themselves. You know, they are just part of that old boys network, part of that, you know, can no longer see the wood through the trees. Brett Impey, the chairman of New Zealand Rugby, I mean, he, just my opinion, but he is everything that you hate about politics and sport. You can just see the old boys network, right down to Mark Robertson, the CEO, being appointed, mate. They've got no vision. They've got no ability to think outside of the square. We're going to end up losing guys like Scott Roberts, and we're going to lose more of our intellectual property overseas, as we've seen with Rennie.
You did, right, Mark? And I'm not disagreeing with you. I knew as soon as that result was come on, I just thought to myself, we need to freshen up New Zealand rugby. Just moving on through, during the week, a bit of sad news, the ASB Tennis Classic has been cancelled. Bit of sad news because, you know, Carl Budge is one of the best, you know, has done a magnificent job in the last few years, and it's really sad. But then you read the Herald, and we're able to let billionaires come in for the America's Cup. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I think when it comes to government, all you want is government that you can trust, and I don't think you can trust this current government. I'm not saying that necessarily National would do anything differently, but you cannot have two sets of rules. You cannot have people missing out on going to their kids' funerals or attending weddings and stuff, and then basically allowing people to come in and isolate on board boats and finding ways to let certain people in. I mean, even the Wallabies being allowed to come in with a 3-day sort of isolation period before they could sort of go into team training, I felt was just a little bit of a disgrace in itself. Look, to be honest with the tennis, I don't think anyone's really going to miss it, to be honest. I mean, it is very sort of elitist. It is targeted at a certain audience here in Auckland. I think Carl Budge is a master of self-promotion. I think Carl Budge is very good at drawing attention to it and stuff. But look, I don't think Auckland's going to fall over because of it. But it is just insane that I'd still rather have it in Auckland than not have it. But again, I'm not sure what the solution is and how you do that. Like I say, I'm desperately wanting to see the Auckland Tuatara play some baseball this summer, but, you know, we're really not sure how that whole thing's going to play out yet. There are so many events that have sort of been set to go and then been put on hold by lockdown periods, and you know, it must be terrible if you're in the event industry, full stop. You can plan what you want, still no certainty, because it only takes, you know, a case in the community, and suddenly we're back in level 3, level 4.
Yeah, and that's it. Also, it's also some news. The Parker Junior Firefighters going to go ahead on December the 11th. And another guy I think probably doesn't get the respect from the mainstream media is David Higgins. Now, I've spoken with David, and we're hoping to get Joseph and David on the show at some point. But David Higgins, he works bloody hard for his customers or for his clientele, mate.
Well, I consider David Higgins to be a friend. I know my younger brother, who's in business, has quite a bit to do with him, and we've had a bit to do with him over the years. The guy is, I think, the best event and promoter in the country by a mile. I mean, he's got some balls. I mean, that guy knows how to take some serious risks, mate. And I remember interviewing him once, and he said, look, it's when you've got nothing, Mark, you've got nothing to lose, and there's something quite liberating about that. And that was when he was talking about first bringing the Shane Cameron David Till fight, and he'd never really had any boxing experience. This is a guy who at 27, 28 years of age brought Bill Clinton down to New Zealand, and got BMW behind it, brought a president, relatively relevant president down to New Zealand at 27, 28 years of age. So it's, unfortunately for guys like David and those, there's such a stigma associated with boxing that goes back to Don King and stuff, and they're almost tarred by the same brush. We've got to move past that perception. Yeah. Higgins knows how to work within the environment. So, yes, is boxing a bit sleazy? Is it a bit devious at the highest level? Probably. Higgins has the ability to go in there and play that game. That doesn't make him sleazy. That doesn't make him sort of morally corrupt. That just shows that this guy knows how to communicate at that level and get the job done. And look, this will be a great New Zealand fight. It's probably all we can expect at the moment with the COVID thing. I think if Joseph Parker is fit, I think Joseph Parker will win this fight, and I think he'll win this fight comfortably. But look, you know, by the time all the promotion comes and goes, we'll all be watching it, and it'll be a win-win for boxing, it'll probably be a win for Sky, and it'll probably be a win for Duco Events. But I get sick and tired of people sort of somehow cutting down David Higgins. I mean, he pays tax. Unlike the New Zealand Rugby Union, David Higgins pays tax.
You're right,
New Zealand
there,
Rugby does not pay tax, okay? So, Higgins employs people, and they all pay tax.
He certainly does, and that's one thing people tend to forget. The New Zealand Rugby Union doesn't pay tax because it's considered as a charitable status. And, I always have a bit of a wee laugh about that when I see all these, and I also see it with the Auckland Rugby Union, when you see all these guys driving around in these big vehicles, you're thinking to yourself, hang on, the clubs or stuff are the ones that are paying for this. Anyway, anything caught your eye over the sporting weekend, Mark?
I just want to say, interesting result this morning in international football, that England ended up beating Belgium, number one side in the world, 2-1, which is great. It's funny, there's so much about English sport I hate. I can't stand English rugby, but I've always had a real affinity for English football, because it's sort of set up more around sort of the blue collar and tends to look after, and I hate the word, but it tends to look after the lower classes in the UK, and that whole class structure just does my head in. I think that was a good result. I'm just trying to sort of think off the top of my head what else has sort of been going on.
Lewis Hamilton not too far from winning his seventh Formula One.
And he equaled Michael Schumacher's record of 91 victories in Formula One overnight. You will break that record. But I don't necessarily think that just because you win the most, it makes you necessarily the best. I think there are other things you have to factor in. And, I still think Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer of all time, even though Jack Nicklaus has won more grand slams. So one thing that did happen, we had a triathlete actually come runner, a gentleman by the name of Hayden Wild, class act. In fact, I genuinely believe he's good enough in time to win the triathlon Olympic Games gold in the future. But he had a crack at one of the long-standing New Zealand records, 1 hour on the track, held by the great Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Bailey set this on the Owairaka track back in the early 1960s, one of Lydiard's disciples. Remarkable time. I think he ran in an hour. He ran close to 21 kilometres in an hour on the track. And Hayden Wild had a crack at that record. The windy conditions on the track didn't really help him on Saturday night. He came up short. But, courage to even sort of put yourself in the hurt box for an hour incredibly high level of intensity, trying to break one of the great New Zealand records, which was a world record at the time. So, look, Hayden Wild, I believe in time, hopefully will end up getting that 1 hour record, that New Zealand record. But it also just shows the class of Bill Bailey back in the 1960s, part of that Lydiard group alongside of Murray Halberg and Peter Snell and co.
Yeah, and don't forget Barry McGee, who was also, I believe, was the bronze medalist in the 1960 marathon. Yeah.
So, yeah. Correct, yeah, part of that sort of golden hour. We had the two gold medals and then we had a bronze in the marathon.
Fantastic. That was a fantastic era, and of course it moved on to the 70s, and of course we've had some hope with Nick Willis, but let's hope for the future from the names you've told us about, that we may one day return to that.
I just want to say this. Remember the name Hayden Wild. I don't say that lightly. I'll be pretty cynical about that's worth one depth and the way things have been done. This guy is the goods man. This guy is a class act, incredibly well coached by a guy by the name of Craig Kirkwood out of Tauranga. And so write that name down, Hayden Wild. He will change the mood of the nation at some point in the future.
Just done it, and I've just put a big circle around it.
Brilliant.
Anyway, Mark, as always, it's always great having a chat to you, and really enjoyed today. I must admit, I thought to myself, this was when I looked at that result, we're in for some great radio tomorrow. Yesterday, I thought we're in for some great radio today.
Yeah, well, I mean, New Zealand rugby, I mean, seriously, mate, the whole Foster thing, it's just going to come back and bite them, mate. You know, lack of vision, just politicking, Hanson and Chute. They've got a lot to answer for, mate. This current administration, this current generation, are inheriting a whole lot of crap that the media just looked past because of the spin the New Zealand rugby and the control New Zealand rugby had over them. They are the Kremlin. Disgraceful.
Anyway, we'll sign off on that. Have a great week ahead. We'll catch you next Monday, Mark. See you later, mate.
See you, mate.
Listeners, that was another show. We're done. Thanks. I'd like to thank Paul in the studio for his good hard work. Bernie McCahill, Frank Endicott, Brenda McNeese and Mark Watson for their contribution today. Have a good week ahead. We'll see you next Monday. Stay safe.
His neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? Right on. You see, this cat, Chef, is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Yeah, he can dig it.
He's a carpet. Complicated man.